Well, as we have said over the last few weeks, words have power, certainly the words of God over our lives, but the truth is words in general actually have significant power and meaning. Like if I say the word spring break, how good does that sound to you right now, right? Everybody's like, oh, that sounds fantastic. Or if I say puppies, that's a fun word. People generally like that, even though they become dogs eventually and they're not puppies anymore and they chew up everything. If I say income tax, fun? And boo? Okay, I like you guys. Highly responsive this morning. But words have meaning. Humidity. It's good. Great. Marathon. So, there's a couple of crazies who love that word. You know who you are. The rest of us are like, we'll pray for you. All right. Ribeyes. These are amen, right? So words have meaning. They have, and not just meaning, but they will elicit emotions from us, meaning there's like a human response to words. They're able to shift even atmospheres. And it's different for everyone because assuredly I could say tickets to the ballet mean something great to some of you and something like, oh my gosh, but I would never to some of you, right? Or if I said remodel your kitchen, right? I'm immediately like, oh my gosh, what's it gonna cost? And I don't know if we could do that. And I don't know, I don't wanna move that wall, all that kind of stuff. But some are like, wow. We could like get a backsplash that's hewn out of the mountain of Tibet and, you know, and all like you're so excited to like, it's fun for you. So same words can have radically different meanings, but we without question know that words do have power in them. And this is not on accident, of course. You can go to Psalm 33, says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. He gathers and waters, gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. There's power in words because our Creator God brought all things forward from his word. God creates life with his words. God creates life with his words. But as image bearers of God, what we're going to discover all throughout the word is that our words matter too. Our words were meant to also create life. That's what we've been exploring over the last few weeks, the power of words. But I want to consider this morning, not just the power of God's words over us, but as image bearers, what it means to carry life, power in the words that we speak. Because this is true whether you honor the Creator or serve God or not, there is power in our words. In Proverbs 18, where you guys are there, I want you to look with me. We'll just have a couple of texts here in Proverbs. We're going to look at some others. But here in Proverbs 18, as an incredibly wise and insightful declaration, verse 20, for from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips, meaning that when our words go out, they have power to nourish, to bring life, right? Inevitably, you went to the grocery store and battled everyone else for the last gallon of milk, right? There's like 10,000 things you can get at a grocery store. Some of those things will nourish you. Some of those things will probably poison you from the inside out, right? Red dye number 5 or whatever, right? But all of it has some value to either nourish or to bring chaos. The picture here that the scripture is giving us is saying, you can be nourished, you can be satisfied, you can experience yield or harvest by what comes out of your mouth. What you say matters because your words can nourish, but it can be poisonous. Your words can be poisonous too, because the very next text is really clear. Death and life, right there, Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power. Now, that's a powerful statement from the scripture. The ability to sow seeds of life and hope, or to sow death and destruction, vitality, hopefulness, or decay and destruction. Our words matter. They can create safety. They can create chaos. With our words, we create cultures in our homes, in our workplaces, with our children, with friends. We create environments with our language. We create pockets of safety and hope. We can create pockets of fear and doubt with our words. The things that are coming off of our lips, the scripture is saying, have real meaning and power. The old saying goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. But we all know that that isn't true. In fact, some of the deepest wounds we carry have nothing to do with bones. It has everything to do with heart. What you've experienced with people. The Midrash, or an ancient commentary on the scripture, says, the evil tongue slays three: the slanderer, the slandered, and the listener. In other words, our words can have life and death to the one who's speaking them, to the one who is receiving them, and to the one who's in earshot of them. Which just brings into focus or into question this morning, how much of the words that come from your lips or out of your mouth are really aligned with the heart of God? That's the core question we get to ask. How much of the words that come from you are really aligned with the heart of God from His word? You know, Jesus cared incredibly deeply about words. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is looking at those who use their words to manipulate, to humiliate, and to bring hardship against people who were trying to find a path to God, and the religious elites were wanting to remain in power. And so he looked at those who used their words for harm, and he said, you brood of vipers. So Jesus is not mincing words here. We don't often think of Jesus speaking in these ways. But he says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Meaning words are important to Jesus, and he's connecting them to what's going on in the heart. That's the gateway of the heart, the words. That whatever's living in here, whatever's being taken in here, and whatever's being given shelter here is formulating something that will come out, able to bring life or death. And that's what he's trying to say. So the scripture is actually saying two things. that you can be nourished, your heart can be nourished by the words that you speak, and or someone can be nourished by the words that you speak, and also from the heart, the mouth speaks. This is a two-way street happening. It is both speaking life that is able to bring life or death to the heart, and yet death to in the heart will bring death out of your mouth. It goes both ways. That's what the scripture is saying. These things are inextricably tied together. It's a reflection of what's going on. That's what we've been talking about, of course, so much over the last few weeks. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to the words of the Father, I want to encourage you to go back and listen. But the scripture's saying you can be nourished by your words, and you can nourish others by the words. And yet also what is in here is what will come out. Your heart's tied to your words. It goes both ways. And so every day in little moments, every day, is an opportunity to carry something really powerful. I don't know if we think of our days that way. I don't know if we even think about the significance of a mundane Tuesday afternoon, but inevitably you'll have conversations with a half dozen people that are around you, and it's the opportunity to speak life or to speak death. What is on your tongue and what is in your heart? That's the question, the easiest thing in the world. And it actually feels like the culture we live in will lean towards, or the temptation will be to tear others down, especially when you've been hurt, especially when you've walked through hard or painful or challenging circumstances. The first thing we often do when we feel jealous or when we feel fear, when we feel sad or when we feel lonely, feel angry, the temptation is to take our words and lash out, isn't it? That would be the first. When you feel defensive on something, the first thing is just to lash back. Often. And those words have meaning and power. And I'd say this, not just what we say to others, but what do you say to yourself? Because I actually think that's the beginning point. If you and I would like to be life givers to the world around us, to our coworkers, to our families, our spouses, our children, grandchildren, roommates, cousins, if you want to be someone who brings impact and life to the culture, the people around you, you want to be a life speaker over them? Hear this. You got to first ask the question, what are the words you speak about you? What do you say about you? What you say about yourself matters. What are the words that you speak? Because if you say stuff like, I'll never get over this, or I'll never overcome, or I'll never get to be like them, or I'll never get free from, or I'll always have this, or I'll always be that. When those words come out of your mouth, beloved, you've kept yourself from hearing and receiving what the Father wants to say when you start to partner with words that are not the ones of God over you. By the fruit of your lips, you can be nourished, actually. Meaning what you say about yourself really, really matters. What are the words that you have to say? You're an image bearer. Your words have meaning. So if that is true, and if the words that come out of our mouths both nourish us and also reveal what's in here, then the question is really simple. What can we do, even today, to just begin to bring life, the life of the heart of the Father, over us, around us, so that we can bring life to those with us. That's what I think that's what this comes down to. And I just want to give us a couple things, and next we're going to go back into worshiping, where your words really matter. And we're going to finish this morning making declarations with our mouths, and it's more than doing church. You're going this in just a moment. We're going to come back and sing, and you are going to sow something into the heavenlies, the glories of God, which are able to nourish you and change you and I from the inside out. So what do we do? How do we begin to shift? If you want life over you and over those around you, what do we do? Number one, I'm just going to give you a few things. Confess to yourself what God says about you. Now, when I say confess to yourself what God says about you, I am meaning say it out loud, like out loud, in prayer, in the car, when you're purchasing cat food. I don't know why I just said purchasing cat food. I don't know why that came to my head. It's super random. Confess to yourself what God says about you. Now, the word confess, homologeo, means say or the same word. Confess means same words. In other words, when you confess, what you're saying is the same words that God says, you're also saying. You are agreeing with what God says. That's what confess. We often think confess means tell all your deepest, darkest secrets. Maybe that's part of that. I'm telling you, confess means I'm saying the same words that God says over me. What you want to practice is speaking the words of the Father. I'll tell you what we need a whole lot less of. I probably need a whole lot of qualifying that I won't have time for. What we don't need is a bunch of self-esteem, where you have to build yourself up. You will get all the esteem you need when you get the Father's words over you. You will feel built up, encouraged, and ready for whatever lies in front of you, when you get the words of the Father over you. So all of the encouragement, confidence, life power that you need for what God is calling you to be and to do in this life will come when you start confessing and saying what God says about you. On your hard days, on your dark days, which we all have, the most important thing you can do is say out loud. I'm not saying like in your mind. I'm saying say it out loud. Make the declaration. Let the fruit of your lips yield. Nourish. Confess, I am cared for, loved, seen, known by the King. This is true. And I'm loved by the King, not because I achieved today. Say it. I'm not awesome because I accomplished or I achieved. I am because he saw me, picked me, loved me, chose me. These words that we've spoken of even in this series. I'm owned, cared for by him. Who can stand against me? Who can come against me? What can the enemy say about me? I am the King's. These are just half quotes of scriptures all over the place, opportunities to just make the declaration to say out loud what God says over you. Now let it come forward. There's something powerful to it. Secondly, we look for the opportunity. We're looking for the chance just to be able to speak life over each other. Just looking for an opportunity. This would be a fun mission. Just as much opportunity to speak blessing and encouragement in life over everyone around you, friends, family, coworkers, grocery clerks, your CPA, they're gonna need it. Everywhere you go. Just look for opportunities, speak life and encouragement, blessing. And what do I say? How does God see them? What does God see them? You could be someone that's really frustrating you. If you just pause for a moment, what does God say? What does God see? Oh, that's sometimes feels so good to be like, right? Come on. When you got someone you're frustrated with, and you just want to, but just to take it 2 seconds and ask the question, what does God say about them? It's a game changer. That's a game changer. That's the rhythm we can carry. How does God see this world around me? Let me get aligned with it. And even as I say that, that's such a powerful reality we can step into, asking that question and allowing our hearts to be aligned with him. And I'll just finish with this, and then we're going to get to letting our hearts go there. But I think this is important. I think you need to sing. And some of you are singing's not your thing. Or you hear yourself sing and you're like, I'm not sure, Pastor, you want me singing out loud. I'm saying I think it's important for you to sing. I don't know why that God made music this way. But when we gather, we sing every time we gather here. And just so you know, it's not because it's in the code to check the box that you sang when you went to church. There is something that God does to take the truth of God's word and the truth of God's heart. And when you sing it, it has the chance to transform you from the inside out.
Yep.
And I'm not a singer. I mean, I can carry a tune, I'll be honest with you. But, and in a pinch, if we had to have me up, I could do it. Okay, I'm just kidding. The minute I'm doing worship up here, our church needs help. All right, so. But what the word of God will say is singing transforms. It actually has power. Colossians chapter 3, I got to share this for you guys that got to listen to the little devo we did when we were off last week. Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Hear this, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Meaning when the word comes in and touches you on the inside, it's supposed to come out of your mouth both in declaration of truth and in singing out loud. This is a part of God's rhythm for you and for me. If you're going, man, I don't have a good voice. In fact, I actually want to hear your bad voice on this Sunday morning, right? I want to hear it all. It doesn't matter. It's not about tone. It's not about quality. It's actually about heart transformation. Let your voice go forward. Sing. Declare. In fact, I think maybe sometimes the most powerful thing we can do when you feel underneath it is to just declare the glories of God.
Yeah.
And sometimes the greatest pathway is just to sing. You might even be in here like, I don't feel like singing. Or I mean, my heart's not joyful. Or I'm not gregarious, or I'm an introvert, or all those things. I want to encourage you. There's something powerful when we open our voices, our hearts to the Lord. There's a transformation that takes place. In Ephesians chapter 5, I think this is a really interesting way that the Spirit of God gives this to us. It says, don't be drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Effectively, he's saying, you think getting drunk and doing karaoke is the way towards fun? Get drunk in the Spirit and sing.
That's right.
And spirituals. That's what he said. I mean, I'm not trying to be weirdo charismatic. I'm just trying to say here. That's what he's saying.
Yep.
You get plastered, so you try to make your problems go away, trying to fix what's happening by drunkenness. He's saying, try this. Get filled by the Spirit and let that thing fly.
Right.
Let it come forward. You can have totally made a mess of your life. The King sits on the throne, is worthy of your declarations. He'll rescue you if you'll bring it to him. What we're about to do here in like T minus 3 minutes is the most important thing you can do. Declare the glories of God. Let the words come out of your mouth. You might be in the darkest cave. He is the King on the throne and will meet you in this place. It's how you know he rules and reigns when you can make these declarations, regardless of how well you did this week or how hard this week was for you. He is here to receive. He is glad to receive your worship and care and love because he has loved you first with an everlasting love. Our words matter. They have the chance to bring life and death. It's why gathering on Sundays is so important. This isn't a sermon about coming and showing up to church. This is about opportunity to let the truth come out of your lips. Sing it loud and proud and gloriously to this King. The truth of God needs to come from our lips. We were meant to be the people who gather. And we need to, by the way, see each other. So we're just going to leave the shades up so we can just look at all the shade up people are so happy. I'm the last shade down person in this church, I think, which means we'll still drop them every once in a while. But for the most part, I need to see you singing. So I'm going to probably awkwardly turn around a couple times. I'm on the front row, so it's awkward. I'm going to have to do that, all right? I need to see you singing. And you need to see me singing. Let's do this together to make these declarations. Your kids need to see you sing. Your parents need to see you sing. Our heart is shaped in worship. So when we sing, it just, God does something where he injects it into our heart. So that's the point. It's the power of God to transform. So if you're at a place where you're going like, there are some things that I want God to tackle in me or to change in me or to help me with. I'm really wrestling with some things. I'm dealing with some things. This is the place of transformation. This is the work. Here, listen to me. This is the work of transformation. You want to do work? You want to try to do something or accomplish something? Make melody to the King and let him have his way in you. Open your heart to him and declare the glories of God. Father, we give you this moment, this hour, this time, these last few minutes to just make a declaration of your goodness. We worship you. Let your praise be on our lips. You're magnificent and worth our desire and hunger and hope. And we put our trust in you. And we choose now to sing because we believe your word is alive. It has weight and power. You create worlds and atmospheres. So we declare, we come in partnership, we confess, we agree, we say the same words as you, O God, so that our lives are transformed. We bless you and we give you this moment. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.